Can we start?
Yeah, today's class will be given by His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu. Hare Krishna Prabhu, please.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 19, Text Number 183 and 184. This is the topic where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Srila Rupa Goswami. Bhakta Bhede Rati Bheda Pancha Parakara Shanta Rati Dasya Rati Sakya Rati Ara Vatsalya Rati Madhura Rati Yei Pancha Vibheda Rati Bhede Krishna Bhakti Rase Pancha Bheda. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. According to the devotee, the attachment falls within the five categories of Shantarati, Dhasyarati, Sakyarati, Vatsalyarati and Madhuryarati. These five categories arise from devotees' different attachments to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The transcendental mellows derived from the devotional service are also of five varieties. Purport. Shantarati is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.16 and 18 as follows. Manate nirvikalpatvam samayiti abhidhiyate. When one is completely free from all doubts on material attachments, he attains a neutral position called Santa. Vihaya vishayohan mukham mukhyam nijananda sthitir yataha Atmana katayate stotra vabhava samayityasu praya samapradananam mamata ganda varjita paramatmatya krishne jata shanti ratirmata. The santarati, realization of Krishna, is in the neutral stage between the conception of impersonalism and personalism. This means that one is not very strongly attached to the personal feature of the Lord. An appreciation of the greatness of the Lord is called Shantarati. This is attachment not to the personal feature, but to the impersonal feature. Generally, one in this stage is called, is attached to the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudani Mayaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Bhagavad Gita 18.61. On the strength of the statement from the Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that in Santarasa, a devotee sees the Lord's presentation everywhere. Dasyarati is explained in Bhakti Rasa Damodara Sindhu as follows. Swasmad Bhavanti Enyunyas Te anugrahya harer mataha aradhya tvatnikatesham rati pritir iti rita tatra shakti kradam yantra priti samharini hi asu. Then the Supreme Lord in his localized aspect is appreciated and a great devotee understands his subordinate position. Not only does he surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but due to his subordinate position, he wishes to render some service and thus become favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee in Santarati is not very much willing to render service to the Supreme Lord, but a devotee in Dasyarati voluntarily wants to render service. Due to this attitude, the devotee in Dasyarati realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead more fully than a devotee in Shantarati. He considers the Lord to be a worshipable object, and this means that the attachment for the Lord increases. Thus, Dasyarati is characterized as Bhakti Parisha Anubhava Viraktir Anyatracha. In other words, on Dasyarati, the platform, on the Dasyarati platform, a devotee is attached to rendering service to the Lord and is detached from material activities. Shantarati is neither material nor spiritual, but Dasyarati is actually on the spiritual platform. There is no attachment from material things on the spiritual platform. Viraktir Anyatracha. A devotee in Dasyarati has no attachment for anything but Krishna's service. Shakyarati is described in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu as follows. Yeshish Tulya Mukundasya Te Sakyaha Satadam Satam Mataha Samyat Vishramba Rupaisam Ratihi Sakyam Ihochyate. According to the opinion of advanced devotees and learned scholars, a devotee in Sakyarati feels equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a relationship in friendship. Due to having a friendly relationship with the Lord, not only is one free from the material attachment, but one believes in equal dealings with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Sakyarati. The Sakyarati devotee is so advanced that he treats the Lord on an equal level and even exchanges joking words with him. Although one is never equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Sakyarati devotee feels equal to the Lord and he does not feel guilty because of this. Usually it is offensive to consider oneself equal to the Lord. The Mayavadis, for example, consider themselves equal to the Lord, but such feelings entail bereavement because they are material. Sakyarati, however, is a feeling experienced in the mind by a pure devotee and he is eternally related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that feeling. Vatsalyarati is described as follows in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. Guravo ye hare rasya te pujya iti vishrutaha anugraha mayi tesham ratir vatsalyam uchyate idam lalana bhavyashis chibuka sparshanadikrit. When a living entity is situated on the platform of Vatsalyarati, he thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his childhood feature. In this feature, the Lord has to be protected by the devotee, and at this time, the devotee takes the position of being worshipped by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These feelings of parental love are called Vatsalyarati. When the devotee is situated on this platform, he wants to maintain the Lord like a son, and he desires all good fortune for the Lord. He offers blessings to the Lord by touching his feet and head. Madhuryarati. Madhurarati or attachment in conjugal love is described as follows. Mito harer mrigakshyascha sambhogasyadi karanam madhura parapparyaya priyatakyodita ratihi asyam kataksha brukrepra priyavani smitadayaha. Madhura Rati, the conjugal relationship experienced between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the young damsels of Vrajabhumi, continuously exists in 8 kinds of remembrances. This intimate relationship, brought about by conjugal love, produces movements of the eyebrows, glancing, sweet words, and exchanges of joking words. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Vena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So, hours this phone. God, my whole life. I feel like my whole life is just sacrificing up. Oh my
Hare Krishna. So we are going to discuss from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 19, text number 183 and 184. This particular shloka is talking about some very interesting aspects of pure devotional service. So these pure devotional service that is described in this particular shloka defines about the five transcendental rasas that a devotee feels when he is performing devotional service, or different five categories of devotees who are serving the Supreme Lord. So this particular chapter is in itself very deep, and you all must have definitely gone through the set of previous verses where Srila Prabhupada is actually and technically explaining pure devotional service. He started explaining about prema and the characteristics of pure devotional service. And these characteristics of pure devotional service, as it is explained, Srila Prabhupada is diverging into different emotions that devotees experience. In our materialistic context, these five emotions that are explained about Santa Rasa, Dhasya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, and Madhurya Rasa, they are not something that we can understand from a materialistic viewpoint. In one of the earlier verses, Prabhupada writes in the purport that so long as somebody has a desire for materialistic attachment and attachment for liberation, he calls them as two witches. So long as these two witches are there in our heart, enjoying the materialistic propensity and desire for liberation, Srila Prabhupada says that these two are very, very detrimental in the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. So when we are talking about these subject matters of prema, one thing that we need to immediately do, which is contradictory to materialistic education, is to apply our materialistic logic. Because to understand, to comprehend all this wonderful loving relationships of devotees with Krishna, we have to grow beyond our logical reasoning. Because logical reasoning are something that will definitely help us to survive in this material world. But to survive in the spiritual world, or to progress in Krishna consciousness, or to develop our loving devotional service to the Lord, we need three important components, which has been spoken in different contexts earlier. So our first reflection, we are going to have some set of reflections as we discuss this verse, as well as I will share a couple of pastimes to corroborate these wonderful leelas. So to enter into the pure devotional service, to enter into the transcendental prema bhakti which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given through his Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, which we are all, can we can proudly claim ourselves, we belong to that. But we are just in the very, very entry level. But since we are talking in the context of PhD study, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so let us at least technically talk about them. Even if I am not qualified enough to realize them and understand this subject matter, so I am sure the words from these Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, when they are repeated, we have a hope that we can develop some loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. So it is extremely important for us to make sure that we don't develop any amount of materialistic viewpoint when we understand this context of Krishna consciousness, prema bhakti. Because this materialistic viewpoint will immediately kill the loving devotional service mellow. So hence, when we enter to this subject matter of pure devotional service, we need three primary qualifications or three primary understanding for us to understand pure devotional service. That will be our first reflection. So three primary requirement even for us to understand this Krishna consciousness subject matter is, number one, being humble, and whilst being humble, it is explained that humility is not just about thinking oneself lower. Humility is about appreciating, glorifying, serving all the Vaishnavas. Many times in our limited understanding, we think that I am humble by thinking myself low. One devotee wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. He wrote in the letter saying that, my dear Srila Prabhupada, he wrote whatever he wants to write. And at the end of the letter, he said, Srila Prabhupada, I am your most humble servant. Srila Prabhupada said, you want to be most even in humble? So the point is, humility is not a component which is to think ourselves low. Maybe it is there, you know, definitely we should feel ourselves, as Prabhupada explains in Dasya Rasa, he explains that how a devotee, he feels himself to be subordinate. So that is there. But humility has got another component of glorification. If somebody is feeling oneself low, it is called low in self-esteem. But if somebody feels himself subordinate and glorify Vaishnavas and the Supreme Lord, that is real humility. That is why we talk about the principle of 3A. Aspire, associate, and appreciate. So we, as a spirit of a humble devotee, we aspire to associate with devotees, and in the association of devotees, we appreciate the devotees as well as the Supreme Lord. That's the real meaning of humility. So, in our application of humility in our daily life, we need to know that naturally we need to start to look at positive and forward frame of mind towards devotees, broad-mindedness, and that way we will be able to appreciate the Supreme Lord. That way we will be able to appreciate the Vaishnavas. So number one principle that is needed for us to even comprehend this subject matter is about being humble. And as I said, being humble means not only to feel ourselves low or subordinate. And if that quality is not supported by the quality of glorification, aspire, associate, and appreciation. So appreciation towards Vaishnavas and Supreme Lord, together with the feeling of subordinate attitude, makes this humility complete. And the second quality that is required here, even to understand. So this Santarasa, Dasirasa talks about subordination, equality, friendliness, superiority, conjugal, all those things. So basically, it's very technical to say that if somebody has respect for the Lord, he does not have strong affinity towards the features of the Lord, about the personal aspect of the Lord, is just Santarasa. If you add the tendency of subordinate mentality, he becomes Dasya Rasa. If you remove the subordinate mentality and you add equality, he becomes Sakya Rasa. If you remove equality and subordinate mentality and add superiority, he gets Vatsalya Rasa. If you remove superiority, or if you add superiority and conjugal effect, that personal conjugal feeling, that is Madhurya Rasa. So it is very nicely explained over here in this purport. Prabhupada refers to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But the point that we are talking now is prelude to that. So the humility that we are talking about, all these devotees that are explained, Shantarasa, Dasya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, all of them are humble. All of them are glorified. But to even come to this understanding, there is a level of humility that is expected, which is what I was referring to. So the second characteristic that is needed to even comprehend this subject matter, or to even get deeper into the subject matter, is obedience. And this concept of obedience is generally misunderstood as slavery in the corporate world or in the normal education world. Humility and obedience, they are like brothers and twin brothers. Humility is a feeling, or it's a understanding that I am be subordinate and I need to be appreciative. Obedience is our readiness to follow the instruction given by our superiors or our fellow members in the association. So I am humble by offering respects to the devotees in the association, and I also appreciate. But the quality of obedience adds us where I am ready to even do service to them. So it is actually a twin words. One is a cause, another is an effect. So this obedience comes with the rider. The obedience is sometimes, if it is not rightly understood, a kid is obedient to their parents out of fear. A youth is obedient to parent because of the need, because they are giving money. A person is obedient to his boss because of his dependency. Somebody is obedient to a relationship because there is some give and take there. But the obedience that we are speaking out here is obedience out of love, and obedience out of respect, and obedience for the need to inculcate pure devotional service in our heart, and without which our heart will not get cleansed of our anomalies. So the second characteristics, obedience, come with a rider of 3 points. Number one, we are thoughtfully obedient, we are favorably obedient, and we are obedient by following in the footsteps of previous acharyas and our predecessors. These three variables on obedience makes the obedience really focused towards our devotional aspect. Otherwise, we see so many people obedient in an external sense, but behind our back, we are not obedient. So they are namke vaste obedient. They are just obedient for name's sake. So the obedience that is being spoken about here is being thoughtful, not just some reckless obedience. I'm obedient doesn't mean that I will do whatever you say. I am not a blind follower. I will ask relevant questions. I will try to understand what you are trying to say. I will understand the purpose of it. And you will see this behavior in the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar Goswami is such a fantastic servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that by his obedience, by his service attitude, he used to understand what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood is going to be, what his mood is going to be in the next few moments. And he would already start composing prayers to soothe that mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So obedience is thoughtful. Second is, our obedience needs to be favorable. Sometimes we might, you know, show our authority even though in the name of obedience. We try to, you know, exhibit this is in our family relationships. We say, I'm obedient, but I will not, you know, do so and so things because I don't like it, he don't like it, she don't like it, whatever, around bodily needs. So the obedience needs to be favorable for the master. Obedience needs to be favorable for the person whom we are serving. Not, I will be obedient on a conditional basis. So long as it is satisfying my needs, I will obey. Otherwise, I will not obey. That's called conditional obedience. But for us to understand pure devotional service, conditional obedience won't work. And the third aspect is about Anukulyena Krishna Anusilanam. So this is what I was just trying to explain. Anukulyena means favorably. Anusilanam means following in the predecessor's footsteps. So I may say I am thoughtful. I am not a blind follower. I may say I am trying to be definitely favorable to please the Supreme Lord. But I will do it my way. Not the way as it is recommended. This is called independent mentality. Unfortunately, whilst you may have two important components fulfilled, but if you are not interested in following in the footsteps of previous acharyas and trying to set up an independent precedence, there is a risk of apasampradaya, a deviation. So the second principle that we need to understand is about being thoughtfully, favorably, and following in the footsteps of previous acharyas, being obedient. Which means, I am available for service and I am definitely going to follow the advice and instructions that is going given to me. So as I said, humility is our propensity to appreciate and glorify and associate and having some respect. Obedience makes it complete because my respect is towards exhibiting service, implementing some service, doing some service. So there is a second principle that helps us in our understanding of Krishna consciousness. This third principle that makes us very, very important to keep through this layer of Krishna consciousness is keeping aside the frill benefits of devotional service, which is Prabhupada spoke about in the previous set of verses, where he said, if somebody is attached towards liberation, going to Swargaloka, having some spiritual, religious benefits, so that propensity will make the entire endeavor bit adulterated. Jnana Mishra is what is being talked about. Because what happens is that when we are trying to deal through this topic of Krishna consciousness, when we are trying to deal through this deeper emotions of prema, pure devotional service, we need to keep aside this propensity of Jnana Mishra, trying to merge, trying to get into liberation, trying to talk about Brahman realization, trying to understand about something which is too too shallow in comparison to prema bhakti. So this is very natural for people who are coming from a Mayavadi or monist theory. That is why Srila Prabhupada says in this purport that even though apparently Mayavadis may talk about equality with the Lord, but their equality is about, you know, will bring in bereavement. But the equality that is brought in Sakya Rasa is something brings an enjoyment to the Supreme Lord. So the third characteristic that we need to be very careful about is not to have any mishra, any adulteration towards gaining knowledge, being intelligent, being scholarly, being logical reasoning, and trying to evaluate. There are a lot of devotees in this movement because of this propensity has even offended Srila Prabhupada. They said that Srila Prabhupada had only dealt some level because Prabhupada was dealing with mlechas and, you know, degraded people. Had Prabhupada dealt with, you know, self-realized souls, then Prabhupada would have dealt more deeper. So what Prabhupada has given is only incomplete. Also we can churn more. So these are all propensities trying to overpower, trying to adulter the instructions given by Acharya, makes us disqualified to enter into this prema bhakti. A very popular example we discussed in the previous chapter about Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was with Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan when he was serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a rumor in Vrindavan that Krishna has reappeared. Krishna is dancing in Kaliya's hood in Yamuna River in the night. So the entire village went to see Krishna. What it actually was? It was actually a boatman sitting on the boat with his lantern light. The boat's edge looked like a hood of Kaliya, and the boatman looked like Krishna, and the lanterns, the flame was looking like the eyes of the snake. So everybody started spreading the rumor that, you see, in the middle of the Yamuna, Krishna is dancing in Kaliya, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My dear Mahaprabhu, we would like to go. Can I go and take darshan of the Supreme Lord in the Yamuna River?" What did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He gave a tight slap, saying that, "How come your consciousness got so much degraded?" And in that class we discussed how when we hear speculative knowledge, how when we hear knowledge with an understanding for becoming scholarly or trying to become giving our own interpretation of what we read and hear, this stops us in realizing the Supreme Lord who is right in front of us. So the effect of this is we will understand the reality as illusion and illusion as reality. The reason is we hear from a relative source and not hearing from an absolute source. So the third thing that we need to be careful about is about this propensity to hear or propensity to be attached to relative knowledge, speculative knowledge, and knowledge about liberation and impersonal realization of the Supreme Lord. So our first reflection is on how these three qualities. Number one is about humility. And this humility is not about just thinking ourselves being lower or just low about us. It is about feeling ourselves subordinate to the Supreme Lord. In addition to it, we aspire, we associate, and we appreciate the Lord and His devotees more and more. So it is about how much I glorify others that talks about how much humble I am. The second characteristic that we discussed was about obedience. And this obedience have three variables in which I need to be thoughtfully obedient, I need to be favorably obedient, and I also need to make sure that I follow in the footsteps of predecessors and not have my own independent nature. So, and the third characteristic that we spoke about is that how we need to be careful about the quality of trying to understand knowledge from a scholarly viewpoint and trying to be attached to liberation and some temporary benefits because of either speculative knowledge or because of even aberrated knowledge, because of which we will not be able to enter into this pure love of Godhead, which is explained in this particular verse. So this is a prelude to understand these five different rasas. Now let us talk about some pastimes which explains these wonderful rasas. There are definitely, we can talk various technical things about each and every one of them. And since every class we do a lot of technical stuff, so let us also have some, you know, stories. So it so happened, so let us go from Madhurya Rasa to various other rasas. Let's see how much time we have. We can have one pastime. How this rasas, these qualities that are explained in this particular purport, we are able to do justice. I'm sure we won't be able to do justice on all the five, but at least let me get to the, you know, the real core of one, which is Madhurya Rasa. I just came back from Vrindavan, so a few pastimes that we shared and relished in Vrindavan, I can, you know, share, which are in the same context. So Krishna is mad after Srimati Radharani. Because of him being mad after Srimati Radharani, he was so much looking for Krishna's, sorry, Radharani's association, that he was constantly thinking about her and wanting to meet her. But by the arrangement of Yogamaya, Srimati Radharani was already married to Abhimanyu. According to the description, Abhimanyu was a dud, dull-headed, and a funny cowherd boy. King Vrishabhanu had made a fantastic palace arrangement. He bought a palace in Yavat. If you go to Vrindavan, there's a place called Yavat. So he had purchased a very big palace in Yavat. It is so huge, with lawns and various other amenities, that he decided that when my daughter gets married, she should have a very comfortable living. And he already bought this palace. And he also wanted to make sure that he wanted his daughter to be around, not to get her married too far away. So he decided that he will find a boy within Vrindavan area, even though he might not be so intelligent or so qualified, so long as he's, you know, good boy and, you know, can be trusted upon, I just give him. There are various, you know, details to this pastime, but let me get to the crux of it to explain what is this Madhurya Rasa all about. So Krishna had a natural frustration that Radharani is married. And Radharani, even though she was married to Abhimanyu, every day she would sulk. Every day she would cry and weep that, you know, she got into such a situation. And all the gopis used to go and console her. And Krishna wouldn't, you know, spare the moment. Whenever he gets an opportunity, he used to go closer. He used to go somehow or other, trying to approach Srimati Radharani by tricking various people. So his agenda had always been, whether you are married or not married, it's nothing, you know, going to affect me. I want to see you. And Radharani would also budge for it, because for her, Krishna was her life. So one day, Mother Yashoda was making wonderful packing. She was packing lots of jewelries, lots of ornaments, silk saris, and various other wonderful gifts for Srimati Radharani. So she was actually arranging in a box in a very organized way. Krishna came there. Krishna asked that, Maya, what are you doing? Who are you packing this for? So Yashoda Maya said, Krishna, please don't disturb me now. I'm little busy now, so I'll explain you later. So Krishna kept on pestering. He kept on pestering to an extent that Mother Yashoda had to, that, you know, give some response to him. Said, I'm giving this gift, packing this gift for one of my very, very beloved, closest, very dearmost person of my life. So Krishna said that, who is that? He said, I am the one and Balram is the one and we are at home. So whom are you packing this for? So Yashoda Maya said that I am packing this for Srimati Radharani, who is equally dear to me. Her husband is going to come to meet Nanda Baba. So please don't disturb now. I will pack this before her, Abhimanyu comes here. So, Krishna wanted to do something about it because this is going to Srimati Radharani. While this was going on, somebody, some visitors came, some jeweler man or somebody visited that house. So, Yashoda Maya got a little distracted. So, she told the assistant in that house, hey, please pack this bag. I have kept everything what is necessary. Please lock this up and give this to Nanda Baba and ask him to hand over it to Abhimanyu, who is Radharani's husband. And please give this letter that I am giving. So Yashoda Maya wrote a letter, or maybe conveyed the message, that my dear Srimati Radhe, my dear Radhe, these gifts that I am sending to you is very special. I want you to use this gift every day. I want you to wear all these ornaments. I want you to enjoy with this gift every day. And this is very, very dear to me. And I am sure you would also love this. I am just paraphrasing what she said. So, when Yashoda Maya left with that message to the servant to give it to Nanda Baba, Krishna came there. He told the servant, hey, follow my instruction. So he threw out all the ornaments, all the silk saris and what wonderful things that Yashoda Maya had packed, and made the box empty. And Krishna went and sat inside that box. When Krishna went and sat inside the box, Krishna had an arrangement with the servant, because the servant was very cooperative with Krishna. So they had an understanding that he will keep quiet and not tell anybody. So Krishna went inside the box and told the servant to lock it up and give it to Nanda Baba to hand it over to Abhimanyu. So the servant did as instructed. So the boss is going and he's lying with Nanda Baba. Abhimanyu came, he did some, you know, transactions or whatever there is, correspondence. And finally, Nanda Baba gave this box to Abhimanyu saying that Yashoda Maya had given this gift with this message to hand it over to your wife. Please make sure that you give it to her. So Abhimanyu carried the box in his head and started walking towards his house in Yavat. On the way, he found this box so heavy. But still he thought to himself, wow, today I've got wonderful gifts to my wife. She's always sulking. So probably, you know, if she sees all these gifts from Yashoda Maya, maybe she is getting going to be a little, you know, happy. So, and it's interesting, Sanatana Goswami explains this. When he was taking, he suddenly started to feel joyous feelings. He suddenly started to feel transcendental emotions. He suddenly started to feel loving attraction towards the Supreme Lord. He suddenly started to feel all sorts of emotions which he has never experienced so far. I'm sorry, this is explained by Rupa Goswami. This particular pastime. Right. I think it's the nectar of devotion in the last part. So, Abhimanyu carrying this to his house. In that house, Abhimanyu's mother, her name was Jatila. It is explained, her name was Jatila because she had a matted hair. And it is nicely explained that like her hair is matted, her consciousness is also like, you know, really confused. And she is very cunning. And she cruelly treats Srimati Radharani, make her work in a very bad way. So, but to add to the glory, it is explained that Jatila, even though she was cruel, to help Krishna's pastime, Yogamaya made her half blind. So she can only see things little hazily, not very clearly. So Krishna used to take advantage of that situation. So Abhimanyu brought this box of gifts, and when he reached home, he said it was so heavy. Mother said, what is there? And said this. He said, Yashoda Maya had sent some gifts to your Bahu, your daughter-in-law. Huh? Jatila said, go and give her. Since morning she is crying. I don't know why she is crying. She is going on sulking. At least by seeing this, she will be happy. So Abhimanyu carried this box to the room of Srimati Radharani. And when she went there, all the other gopis were there. Lalita Shakhi was there. Vishakha was there. Chandravali was there. All of them were consoling Srimati Radharani because she was so much feeling separation from Krishna. So Abhimanyu went and kept this box and he said, Yashoda Maya had sent this gift. You please, you know, enjoy them. And he left. He was, as explained, he was not so intelligent. He was wanting to wait and see what this gift was. He said, okay, let's. And he also felt that there were a lot of girlfriends there. So he just wanted to leave them alone. He left. And suddenly when Abhimanyu left, everybody started to feel a very transcendental emotions. They started to feel ecstatic. They started, because all of them were morose. Radharani was crying, but out of blue, suddenly when the box came in the room, she started feeling all transcendental loving emotions and feelings for the Lord. She couldn't comprehend how come and where from this feeling is coming. Then they all decided to open this box. So when they opened the box, Krishna was hiding inside the box, came out, and he was stretching his hands and legs. Like that, he just came out. And to everybody's surprise, it jumped out of the box. And all of the gopis were so happy and so ecstatic. Srimati Radharani was in trance. Krishna was feeling so happy. But what happens when they are very happy? They naturally tend to become naughty. Up till they saw Krishna, they were longing and they were feeling separation from Krishna. The moment Krishna came, they started to behave naughtily. So they started to overpower. So what is explained over here, Madhura Rati, the conjugal relationship experience between the Lord and the young damsels of Rajabhumi continuously exists in 8 kinds of remembrances. This intimate relationship brought about by conjugal love produces movements of the eyebrows, glancing, sweet words, and exchanges of joking words. So the naughty behavior started. All these 4 things started. Eyebrows raised up. Wow! How come Krishna? Then everybody started to glance and, you know, in Hindi we say ghoor rahe the, staring at the Lord. Then Srimati Radharani started to play some naughty jokes. He said, Yashoda Maya said she has sent some valuable jewels. She has some valuable gifts for me. She has sent some valuable saris. You, Krishna, a naughty boy, because of you, I lost all the gifts. Is it fair? So she started to, you know, joke with Krishna. So Krishna, they started to tease. All other gopis said, you see, you are coming hiding to see Srimati Radharani. I will go and complain this to Nanda Baba. They are going to catch you to them saying that what sort of a naughty person, what sort of a thief you are. And Krishna started to, you know, say that, no, I am not, you know, coming here hiding. Actually, this box was empty and I was feeling cold. So I just thought I'll just go and lie down and stretch. Somebody locked this box and brought it over here. I didn't purposely come over here. So this way, both gopis and Krishna had a loving exchanges. For a few moments, all the gopis, they were teasing Krishna. Then they left Krishna and Srimati Radharani alone. So this relationship is actually devoid of knowledge. This relationship is devoid of respect. This relationship is devoid of friendship. This relationship is devoid of any tinge of anything that they need for personal needs. And this relationship is purely and only meant for pleasing the Lord and to give Him the necessary pleasure. And Krishna gets so much transcendental pleasure with such dealings that He don't mind how much ever His name is going to be blasphemed, how much ever people are going to make fun of Him, how much ever He is going to be humiliated, how much everybody is going to treat Him, He still wants to be with them. As I said, we won't be able to do justice to all the other rasas. So let me still stay on this Madhurya rasa. The reason is, we are now dealing through prema bhakti. We are dealing through highest amount of devotion. And the highest level of prema bhakti is Madhurya. And in Madhurya, highest is Parakya. So hence, at least to make justice to that, let me just say a few more words on this. We go to Dwaraka. In Dwaraka, Satyamama, Rukmini and all the people in Dwaraka, whilst they loved Krishna, whilst Krishna gave them all opulences, they used to always have a doubt. That is, Krishna actually corresponding and transacting with us, or is Krishna trying to be in a lost state? So Rukmini said to Narada Muni, this is from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, she said, my dear friends, my dear devotees, Krishna, even though he is with me, sleeping with me, even in the night, he used to call out the names of different gopis. He used to call out the names of different girlfriends. He used to keep his hand playing flutes. He used to blabber. He used to sing some songs. While he was asleep, he was always doing this. And many times in the morning when I got up, I used to see his pillow being wet because he would have cried the whole night. There are a lot of days and a lot of nights he wouldn't come out of his palace. He would hide himself in the blanket and constantly weep. And most of the time we used to think that he is corresponding with us, but we used to know that he is already in half consciousness with us and his consciousness is somewhere else. There's a long story there. But they said, when we understand what Krishna would have got his love from the Vrajavasis, especially gopis, even though we are his wife, we are actually as good as maid servants. The real devotees are the gopis. The entire first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita was about Narada's search for the real recipient of Lord's mercy. I had a good fortune to be in Vrindavan Dham for the last 5 days, 6 days. I was there with a group of 22 devotees and we discussed this entire first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, right from Narada's meeting the Brahmana in Prayag in the search of the recipient of Lord's mercy, and his entire journey to various places to finally conclude how Vrajavasis, and in Vrajavasis, his gopis are the real recipient of Lord's mercy. So such a pleasing experience, such a transforming experience, and I sincerely thank Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas who, because of their help, we could go to Vrindavan Dham. And just 1 minute before the class began, I just arrived home. I just barged in because my train, and we had a heavy traffic. I was a bit concerned if I would make it. Somehow, by Krishna's mercy and Srila Prabhupada's mercy, I somehow could make it on time for the class, so that I could once again remember some of the pastimes that we shared there. We had 6 days of non-stop katha and darshan. We were churning this nectar and drinking the wonderful nectar of Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. So this particular 5 different rasas that are spoken here, all are very, very transcendental. And we just spoke about some examples of what Madhurya Rasa means. Like that, there are so many wonderful pastimes for each of these rasa, and how each of them feel themselves complete. Not even one rasa thinks that others are subordinate or superior, in the sense of, it is not that somebody is in Dasya Rasa is incomplete. It is not somebody in Sakya Rasa is incomplete. Every rasa is complete by itself, and those people in that rasa feel themselves to be qualified to serve the Supreme Lord in that rasa only, and they will not be happy enough to, think of the Lord in some other rasa. So hence these 5 rasas are not stages, they are all parallel rasas for different kinds of relationship with the Supreme Lord. As I said, these are all very deep subject matter, and definitely we pray to Krishna, we pray to the entire parampara, that may we get some opportunity to definitely not only just talk about the subject matter, not only understand the subject matter, not only realize the subject matter, at some point in time in our existence, we should also get a glimpse of being part of this transcendental Leela. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, pranams. First of all, thank you so much, Prabhu. The very next minute after coming back from the dham, you are giving a class. We are very, very grateful to you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for the very beautiful pastime. And you literally took us to Vrindavan. And thanks for the wonderful realizations, too. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Great. So, thank you so much. Actually, I accepted the class today, so knowing that I would reach here afternoon 2:30, but our whole journey got delayed and the train was delayed, and even the train reached around 6 o'clock. We had such a heavy traffic. It took around 2.5, what it used to take for 45 minutes to 1 hour, took 2.5 hours to come. So that's why it became neck of the moment. I was really thinking halfway through, should I message and then I won't be able to make it or not. And I was just really praying that, at least it's not fair to let somebody know in 5 minutes ahead of time to say that, please, can you please manage somehow? Krishna help to, make it. Thank you so much for patiently hearing this session. And please engaging us, please keep engaging in the service, and it's very nice to speak Krishna Katha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I'm sorry to interject late. Can I just ask one question?
Yeah, not. No problem.
Can you just repeat what was the reason for Jatila getting her name? You said something about the shape of her head or something like that?
Jatila. Jatha means hair with matted hair. Okay? So it is explained that she used to have a matted hair. That is why people used to call her Jatila. And Rupa Goswami explains that it is not only her hair were matted, she was a cunning lady. Her consciousness were also matted. It was also like little clogged. So, because she used to, treat Srimati Radharani. She had Srimati Radharani herself as her daughter-in-law. So neither Abhimanyu nor Jatila could take advantage of Srimati Radharani being in her house. And they used to really treat her bad. So, it is explained that not only her hair were matted, her consciousness were also like that.
Two things. One is, I find it so strange that a woman of Vedic culture would have matted hair, as if to say it was not washed. How come her hair was matted?
Interesting. I don't know that. Why she had a matted hair.
Yeah, it sounds very strange for a woman, especially.
Yeah. So we can see this matted hair not only in Jatila, but many other places. When Devahuti was serving Kardama Muni, so when Kardama Muni was in transcendental meditation, so Devahuti used to do lots of service to Kardama Muni. It is explained that Devahuti was such a beautiful princess before she was married. But after she got married to Kashyapa Muni, she used to serve so much without taking care of herself, because she used to be conscious that her husband needs to be facilitated for his practices. So she would not oil her hair, she would not comb her hair, she would not mind about keeping herself fit and fine or presentable, because her husband was in deep trance. So Prabhupada explains that because of her service to Kashyapa Muni, and he is in trance, and she need to make sure that she has to serve nicely, and she doesn't have any other attachment to present herself looking nice to anybody else. She is only to her husband. So since her husband is busy, she didn't want to, as in separation as well as in service attitude, she did not attend herself fully. And it so happened that because of her service, she became skinny, she became pale, she became so fragile, that when Kashyapa Muni got out of his meditation or his service, he got so much satisfied with Kashyapa Muni, sorry, with Devahuti, that he made her transformed back into the original beautiful Devahuti, and he took her around in a transcendental mansion, and he went for a what do we call as a honeymoon. So he had a fantastic honeymoon. So it is explained that a woman, a chaste woman, if she is in absence of her husband, or if she is busy serving somebody very close to her, especially her husband and family members, so she generally don't attend for her personal needs. So that is another reason why people have married her. I don't know if that is the reason why Jatila had married her, but since you asked why somebody would even keep married her, this is one of the reasons we see in Srimad Bhagavatam why people have married her.
And did you just now say something about, she was not attending to herself because, you know, she was, her world was revolving around her husband, but also you said something about her being in, did you say something about her being in separation?
Yeah, she was, because they were not, she was not physically, having any relationship with Kashyapa Muni, and she was not, she was only doing a role as a menial servant. There was nothing beyond that. She was doing as a maid servant or menial servant, and they didn't have a conjugal relationship. They didn't have any formal husband-wife relationship. So, and she didn't want to present herself to presentable to anybody else, because she realized that her beauty is to be only for being beautiful to her husband, and as a feeling of chastity. So she felt herself to be like that, and served her husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she was like in separation from her conjugal relationship with her husband.
Not exactly feeling separation. She was satisfied with what she was doing, but since Kashyapa Muni got out of the trance, he knew that Devahuti is definitely a wonderful devotee, and why not definitely satisfy her, because as a duty of a grihastha, he need to satisfy his wife and give a good son. So he blessed her with a good son for the service that he did, and the son happened to be Kapila Dev. So for the service that she did, she got a fantastic, conjugal life. She went on a transcendental honeymoon on a flying mansion, and as well she got a son as Kapila Dev, and eventually got self-realization. So Prabhupada explains, a chaste wife with an intelligent husband, combination produces Krishna consciousness.
And thank you, Prabhu. And then also, just one last thing is, I wonder if you could give a couple of examples of how Jatila would mistreat Radharani.
She would make her work every day. I mean, she would make her to sweep the floor, mop the, when Radharani was in her father's place, her father was a big guy in the entire area. Both Nanda Maharaj and King Vrishabhanu, they used to be very, very, they're leaders. I mean, they had their own respective palaces or a mansion, you can call. And Radharani had so many maid servants in her house. She was so tender, so nicely brought up, that she wouldn't do any household chores. But here, Jatila and her daughter Kutila, so both of them, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, sister-in-law, both of them used to make Radharani do all the household work, cleaning, mopping, washing, cooking.
You're like Cinderella, right?
I'm sorry?
Like Cinderella.
Yeah, whatever.
There's a famous character in American folklore.
I've heard about that, but then Radharani is by far superior than all the characters. So basically the point is that she used to be typically treating her You know, even though there is not a requirement to, you know, torture, they used to kind of make her slog and work. And when Srimati Radharani used to be sulking and she used to be morose, they used to scold us, what is your problem? You are in such a big house, and, you know, kind of, they never used to understand her emotions. So, well,
why were they treating her like that?
Well, it's another whole...
Oh, that's another whole class. Okay, okay. It's beyond the scope of the class.
It's very nice. Actually, it is Rupa Goswami explained, why did Vrishabhanu marry... or why did Nanda Maharaj did not go and ask for Krishna's hand? Or why did Vrishabhanu marry to Abhimanyu? So one of the reasons it is explained that it is actually the arrangement of Yogamaya, because to explain what is Parakya, Swakya and Parakya are two categories in... Madhurya Rasa, and in that there is a category, you know, Vipralamba meets, you know, in Lavin Suppression. There are so many details to this, but at least let us talk only two things, Swakya and Parakya. Swakya means loving one's wife, Parakya means loving, you know, somebody else's wife. So, and this is applicable only and only to Krishna and this Madhurya Rasa. This is not applicable anywhere else. So, to increase the emotion or to show to the whole world what it means to be Madhurya Rasa in Parakya Bhav. He explains that Yogamaya made an arrangement in such a way that Krishna was not married officially to Srimati Radharani. Okay, this is an internal reason. What is an external reason why Krishna was not given in marriage to Srimati Radharani was that every day, because Vrishabhanu knows Nanda Maharaj for a long time, since the time when Putana, Shakadashur, all the Asuras visited Nanda Baba's house in Gokul, every day the people in Gokul used to be threatened and feeling afraid, that because every day different demons used to come and, you know, try to kill the baby Krishna. So Nanda Baba used to consult Vrishabhanu and say that, keep, you know, can you give me some advice? So Vrishabhanu advised Nanda Maharaj, you please relocate from Gokul to Vrindavan. And even in Vrindavan, the demon's attack never stopped. So Vrishabhanu was a bit concerned that this boy, whose life is always under the threat, how can I give my daughter to that boy? This is also Krishna's trick. But the point is, this is an external reason why he didn't choose. Because constantly they were attacked, one after the other, after the other, after the other. There are a lot of attacks that happened. But on the Hind side, Krishna and Radharani did get married in a very secret arrangement in a place called Bhandirvan. We had a very good fortune to, you know, spend one day in Bhandirvan. Wow, such a fantastic day it was. Day before yesterday we were in Bhandirvan. So we were discussing this pastime of Radha and Krishna's marriage and so many other pastimes. So there, Lalita Shakhi is arranging this wedding arrangement, and Radharani, Krishna and Brahma is acting as a priest, and Krishna applies vermilion on Radharani's forehead and accepts him as wife. This is a secret wedding that happened. It is not declared, and nobody in Vrindavan or nobody outside of those three, four people knew this happened. So in one sense, Radha and Krishna got married. In one sense, they did not get married. So there is very detailed, complicated and also a little superlative nature of love that they share, which we can technically speak, but to realize, you need to have a lot more endeavor to be done on all those three things that we spoke about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Prabhu. Of course, okay. There's so much more that can be said, but I understand we're getting late. But, thank you very much for very fascinating details. You only whetted my appetite more.
It's very nice, Mataji. It's very nice. I'll tell you, I mean, Krishna consciousness is transcendental, and the more you give up our material quotients, the more give up our, you know, other quotients and just get into... That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says elsewhere, Krishna consciousness is very simple for simple-minded, and it is very complicated for difficult-minded. So, you know, because if we are not simple-minded, for us Krishna consciousness is very complicated. But if you go to a place which is simple, and when you are in that environment, lot more things which are very difficult for us to understand, we can very easily understand. So dham, that is why in the Panchanga Bhakti, dham vas is considered as one of the important components. And we all, if you don't have an opportunity to be in dham, at least you should long and yearn to go in dham. I have many, many lessons we discussed in the last 6 days. So maybe in the future classes, we'll share some of them.
Yes, but I mean, so is it safe to say that the reason why Krishna and Radharani are not considered married is because that marriage happened in secret?
Yes. And it's also by the arrangement of Yogamaya that Krishna and Radharani, if they become wives, then Parakhya Bhav is not there. Parakhya
yes.
means?
Mm-hmm.
So to increase that and to present to the whole world Madhurya Rasa in Parakhya.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something very, very unique, special, and that's exactly that emotion, that prem is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us. We will not go to Madhurya, but the point is that the mellow that you derive in Madhurya, that highest level of prem, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is capsuling and embedding that in Hare Krishna Mahamantra, delivering it to us. That's why Prabhupada says, when somebody chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra attentively, definitely they will get the prema bhakti. So what others in Vrindavan got it, we would also have a glimpse of it, or we would even get a whole bunch of it. Depends upon how deep we are in our chanting and our devotional service.
Mm-hmm. Can you just say very slowly that name of that forest where they got married?
Bhandirvan.
Bhandirvan.
Yep.
Okay.
There are 12 forests in Vrindavan. This is one mm-hmm. of the forests.
Yes. Bhandirvan. Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Wonderful.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Jai. Hari Bol. Thank you so much. So we will discuss next week.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you all so much for listening patiently. Thanks for the wonderful discussion. वंशकलपतरूपेश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनंतकोटि वैष्णववृन्दकी जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय श्री श्री चैतन्य जगदाम्बिका की जय वृंदावन धाम की जय हिज ग्रेस राम गिरिधारी प्रभु की जय हरे कृष्ण
थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी हरे कृष्ण
हरे कृष्ण